praises tonight. Testimonies, praises. Yeah, Ron. Yeah.
And a quote had my boss quote to, you know, order some pipe and stuff for square tubing and try to get a price on that. And she came to me the other day and says she's going to donate the material to the church.
Amen. Good God. And I've laid my eyes on the crosses, and they look fine and fitting for this church, and she's already donated the primer, so they've been primed, and given some paint chips to Mrs. Pat and her daughter-in-law, who is a painter extraordinaire, is going to try to help me narrow down the color. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you don't like the color, we can always repaint them, I guess. Amen? When I saw the crosses where you guys were doing your Christian Builder project in where was it at again?
Oak Island.
When I saw those, I just fell in love with them. Thought, man, they would look great here. And I think you guys, Ron Wade has stepped it up a notch. I mean, they really fine. Amen. All right. Other praises and testimonies. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
You know, Brother Stephen, yesterday, to stand in protest of the abortions, that's the first time I've ever did anything like that.
Yeah.
And it is. And I thank God that that we can do that. You know, I had, at one point I had a poster that says, abortion hurts women.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really thought about what he said,
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it does hurt the men too.
Right, right.
They may not have as much of a choice as the woman has in the matter.
Right.
Because the women think it's their body or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm just
thankful that I can make a stand for
that. Amen, man. It's fun, and it's right.
It's a good thing,
and probably the life chain. If we were going to give a life chain award to the guy that was just doing it, I mean, Brother Ronnie Lee, man, I was standing next to him, and that brother was praying. He was meditating. I mean, you could hear the scripture and the words come out of him. And man, that's what we need. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's always, you know, there's seven choices to choose from. Seven different signs, and I don't have them memorized by any means. Abortion hurts women. But it's always amazing. Your gift comes out in your choice. You know, you can tell the mercy people. You can tell the prophets. Guess I picked up the sign, abortion kills. Abortion kills, that's a prophet. Abortion kills children, right? Ronnie picks up the one Jesus will heals and forgive. Ronnie's got the gift of mercy, amen? Right? We stand right next to each other. So you see everybody's gift represented in the choice of the sign that they picked. It's awesome. Yeah. Now, some people had two signs. That kind of threw me a little bit, but
well, I took Brother Carr's sign.
You took Brother Carr's sign from me. I get it. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. So this is a good time. Any one more praise or testimony? Yes, sir, brother back in the back. Amen.
I know from your aspect, it starts out here being open and willingness, but from our aspect, we appreciate you being prayed up, studied up.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Miss Karen. Amen.
And some of these new praise songs, I mean, it was just an awesome
had a worship time.
Worship time.
Yeah, praise God.
I'm so thankful to all the stuff.
That's a good worship time. It's good choir practice. Amen. Yes, sir. Get after it. Amen.
You know, they go from the groundskeeper to the pastor. Everything in between and beyond.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to sit back and watch each individual fulfill their calling in this church.
All right. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Brian, we'll give you the last word, brother. Yeah, it's a tough socioeconomic group you're running with. Yeah. Yeah.
Twice within the last 3 weeks, a couple weeks ago in Oklahoma, we were standing out getting ready to take off with a load, and somebody said something about a Bible verse or something, and we ended up having a Bible study for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Praise God. That's right.
And that's a hard opportunity to come by, and I feel bad and feel guilty sometimes for not doing more, but
yeah.
God opened the door that night.
Amen,
and
brother.
And some comments that were made just kind of reassured me that I am a witness.
Amen.
That
Amen.
My actions lead them to come ask me questions, and just it was nice to have the opportunity, and I hope God gives me more opportunities.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. Outstanding. Very good. If you take your Bibles tonight, thank y'all for the fine testimonies and words. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Begin reading here in verse 5. We'll take it through verse 12. I'll invite you to stand if you can. 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 5 through verse 12. We've talked about this about 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday night, we were finishing up our passage in Mark chapter 7. And so we're going to get back to this and get another swipe at it. We won't hear anything from 1 Corinthians next week. That'll be your fifth Sunday sing. I'll try to tie the theme up with how the Lord leads me as I listen to these songs and try to come up with some kind of devotional, some kind of what's God saying to us through this music, and then that will be the balance of the service next Sunday night. But let's look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads this. It says, "But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he's doing," what's he doing? He's doing the Lord's work, so as I also am. Verse 11, "So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll try to get the application out of this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, we thank you for the words of testimony, the words of encouragement. Lord, thank you that you are working in our midst. And Lord, you're working outside these four walls. We praise you for that, Lord. We praise you that people are living the Word of God out where you've placed them, where you've planted them. Lord, what a blessing, what a tremendous encouragement that is to the rest of us, Lord. May we all seek to do that and seek to answer these divine appointments that you give us day in and day out. Father God, I pray you'd open our hearts again to your Word, that you would anoint the preaching of your Word. Lord, that folks would not hear me, but they would hear you. And Lord, the Holy Spirit would just speak to them in a way that they would come away tonight knowing that they had been in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for the songs that we've sang, Lord. Thank you for the time of offering and giving of our tithes. And Lord, we just do this. We lay it down at your feet to bring glory and honor to your name. May we lift up Christ tonight, and as we leave here in a little bit after our prayer time, may we continue to have Christ high in our hearts, Lord, so that we carry him throughout the week, lifted up so the lost man sees the Jesus in us. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
All right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, the things Paul speaks about here have to do with work, all right? Nothing wrong with work, amen? Work is a good thing. And let me tell you something. When it comes to spiritual work, when it comes to church work, you got two ways to go. The first way is Psalms 9, verse 17. And that says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The question is not, is God through with America? The question is America through with God? Right? So you can just say, I'm going to halfway do this. I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to tip. I'm going to come when I want. I mean, I'm not going to get behind it. I'm not going to shoulder any kind of responsibility in the church. You can kind of do that, and we'll get Psalm 9:17. Or you can take the Isaiah 59:19 approach. The Word of God reads, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." Amen? You want to be the standard bearer, friend. You want to be the standard bearer. I'm telling you, you don't want Psalm 9:17. You want Isaiah 59. Amen? When we think about this work that the Lord gives us, that all Christians should be abounding in per chapter 15, verse 58, we mentioned that. You can read that if you would like. It tells us that Paul and Timothy were abounding in it, verse 58 and verse 10 of the present passage that we just read. How can we basically define and describe the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord consists basically of two major trunks of the same tree, right? There's basically two things going on here. There's evangelizing on one side, and there's edifying on the other. Evangelizing, gospel presentation, right? And then edifying, that's teaching, that's discipling, two outstanding marks of Jesus' own ministry. You'll remember the passages that we shared 2 weeks ago, Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen, church? Throughout the 3 years of his ministry, Jesus' own ministry, Jesus also taught his disciples. Until just before his ascension, he continued to teach them. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Jesus preached the gospel to those who did not know him, and he taught to those who did. Throughout his ministry, you'll find him in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will find the Christ. He's either evangelizing or he's teaching. He's talking about coming into the kingdom of God, or he's training those up that are in the kingdom of God. He's trying to give them something. He's trying to save these over here. That's what you see Jesus doing. He alternated between the two. Amen? Throughout his ministry, this is what he did, preaching evangelistically and teaching to edify and equip are at the heart of the Great Commission, right? Anybody give me the Great Commission? Anybody? Matthew 28, 19 through 20? Baptizing them? Amen. And I'm with you always to the end. Amen. In this passage, Paul is speaking about the kind of spiritual service to the Lord as he does we see a number of what? We see a number of implied principles that lay behind and are the foundation to properly doing the Lord's work of evangelizing and edifying. He's put us here to do those two things, to evangelize and edify. These principles we're going to cover encourage and support the work of the Lord. Can anybody give me the first one that we covered 2 weeks ago? Starts with a V, ends with an N. Vision, amen? Your own personal what? Vision. Everybody say it. Your own personal vision. My personal vision of what? Of how you're going to use the gifts and talents that God's given you to evangelize the lost that's around you. Amen? You know, I've got a game plan tomorrow. You'll have a game plan tomorrow, what things you've got to get done in the day. But hey, you're also going to have some lost people around you throughout the day. So why not put together what? A game plan of how you're going to interact with them ahead of time. Amen? At the front end of the day. Right? Or at the end of this day for the next day. Have a strategy, a vision. Man, God can use that. Amen? He wants to use that. The Lord's worker must have a vision for the future. Right? That's what we got to do. The Lord's faithful worker, he plans, he strategizes, he looks ahead with a sense of vision and expectancy. That's verse 5. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia. That brother made a plan. I'm going through it. Here I go. Amen? Paul didn't just bounce around. He had a plan. He was led of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit did direct him. We're going to see that here in a little bit. But the brother had a vision. Jesus had a vision of taking his disciples and training them as he went. This walking seminar. We're going to go over here. We're going to go over here. We're going to come back through here. We're going to go back and forth across the lake. Jesus had a vision. He was being led, but he had a mind. He had a vision. Amen? That's right. That's right. Well, we ought to have a vision and plan ahead about what we'll be doing and how we'll be infiltrating the lost world. We must also be, and this is the second thing we need to get. Vision is the first one, right? Number two, and boy, you'll know this one if you have kids. That's flexibility. Amen? Well, if you got kids, you better be flexible. Right? If you're going to live out the victorious Christian life in a New Testament church with lost people in it, that are everybody's at different levels of spiritual growth. Some people are backslid. Some people are flat lost playing church. You better be flexible, friend. I mean, you better be flexible. Look at verse 6. And perhaps I will stay with you, and perhaps, I'm flexible, and perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. I'm flexible, Paul's saying. Flexibility. See, our plan should always be subject to whose revision? To the Holy Spirit's revision, to Almighty God's revision, to Jesus Christ's revision, as it's revealed to us in the Word and through our prayer life. Amen? The future does not always come together as we think, does it? No. No, if you've lived any time, you know that's true, right? Our original understanding of God's will for us may not have been entirely right or complete, or His plans for us may change. In any case, we should always qualify our intentions as James advises. James chapter 4, verse 15, the Word of God reads, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. You've got to be what? Flexible. What was the first one? Vision. That's right. Our spiritual gifts and talents, as well as our desires, as prompted by the Holy Spirit, may give us clues as to the type of work the Lord has for us to do, but He may want us to use our gifts in ways that we have not imagined. Right? Ways we've not imagined. See, if we are rightly convinced and advanced about what God wants us to do, we can become insensitive to His leading when the call to a specific ministry comes. Oh man, I can't do that. Well, God's called me to pastor and the preach. I can't go over there and do that. Yeah, you can. The Holy Spirit's leading you to do it. You got to be what? You got to be flexible. Amen. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I can't do that. Man, the Lord needs to, He needs to lead somebody. My friend, He's leading you. You need to be flexible. Amen. Just roll with it. Right, brothers and sisters? Flexible. Right? Our vision, no matter how sincere and how carefully thought out, is not infallible because we're sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect like Christ yet, right? Inflexibility can be a great barrier both to knowing and doing the Lord's work. Flexibility is not a sign of weakness. What is it a sign of, flexibility? Anyone? You could say obedience. I like it. There's another word I'm looking for. Willingness. I like that. There's another word I'm looking for. Faithfulness. How about let's try this one on? Humility. Humility. God, I'm humble before you. God, I'm moldable and malleable. I'm willing. I'm faithful, God. Work with me. Humility. I don't have all the answers, God. Work with me. Lord, I need a word here. I don't know. Work with me. It's humility. Amen? The apostle, this guy, I mean, what a testimony he has. Knocked off the camel, by the light, blinded, right? Who are you, Lord? You know, the one you're persecuting. I mean, what a testimony. The Corinthians at one time thought the apostle was pretty fickle. I mean, this guy's all over the place, this apostle Paul, right? The apostle was not fickle. He was not indecisive, as the Corinthians later accused him of being, but he was realistic. He was a humble man. He was realistic because he knew that no one can be the captain of his own fate and the master of his own destiny. Amen? Boy, if you're serving the Lord, you're not the captain anymore. Well, when you got saved, see, that's why we say Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. You can tell the churches that don't get that. They just speak of Jesus as Savior. No, He's Lord and Savior. If you read His Word, He's in charge of your life. He's taking you on to heaven. You're escaping hell, praise God. But while you're here, He's in charge of your life, and He's going to lead you primarily through His Word. Amen? He is Lord of your life, right? And we've got to be humble enough to accept that. There are far too many things in life that are completely out of our control. You can't make anybody do the will of God. I found that out a long time ago, but I know somebody who can. But I'm not the fourth person of the Trinity, right? There's somebody else doing that convicting. I just tell. That's all I do. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Paul was humble because he knew that God was sovereign and he has the absolute power and right to change any person's plans whenever and however he chooses. So here is here's Paul. He's modifying the trip to Corinth. It's not the first time as he modifies this trip to Corinth. It's not the first time God had adjusted Paul's plans. On Paul's second missionary journey, Paul planned to, as Acts chapter 15, verse 36 reads, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Hey, Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas said, "Fine idea, let's do it." Paul and Barnabas were able to visit most of the places as planned, but the Holy Spirit specifically forbade them, as Acts 16, verses 6 through 7 reads, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. See, the Lord's will was for Paul and Silas, not Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, with their new companion, guess who he is, Timothy, to revisit some of the churches on the original schedule. But before all of them could be visited, God sent the group to a completely new field, Macedonia. Right? Where these men became the first to preach in Europe. They wanted to be the first to preach in Asia. Holy Spirit said, "I really want you to be the first to preach in Europe." So that's what you're going to do if you're on my team. So that's what they did. We see this played out over and over again in the great missionaries of yesteryear. All his life, David Livingstone wanted to be a missionary to China. Even in his old age, he longed to have the opportunity to go there and minister. But God sent him instead to Africa. That's where he went. He worked and he died, opening up that great continent to mission work, just like William Carey. You remember William Carey? William Carey had done it in India. This guy, Livingstone, wanted to go to China. God said, "No, you're going to Africa," right? You're not going to China. Well, I want to go to China. You're going to Africa. Are you my man or not? God, I'm your man. Africa is where I'm going. David Livingstone never went to the place he personally wanted to go, but he served willingly, he served unreservedly, and he served fruitfully where God put him. See, that's the difference with being flexible, right? God puts us somewhere we don't want to be, and we can just kind of waste His time, kick the can down the road, so to speak, not get on the stick, not get with it, just not pull our own weight, right? I mean, there's a lot of pastors across the land today that think they should be in a church running 1,000 or 1,500, and they're in a much smaller church, and they're thinking, man, they're, you know, when is their ticket going to get punched? I mean, when are they, friend? What, you know what they need to do? They just need to preach God's word. Just do what God's called you to do. He will do what He'll handle the rest, man. He will take care. Just do what God's called you to do. Livingston had a great vision for China, but because he wanted above all else to do the Lord's will, he was flexible. Like the Apostle Paul, he was willing clay in the potter's hand to be molded and remodeled in whatever ways God pleased. Romans chapter 9, verse 21 says, "Or does not the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use?" Amen? Well, what was the first one? What was the second one? All right, so here's the third one. The third one is thoroughness. Everybody say thoroughness. Now, you got to be thorough, right? You know, when you're looking for fleas on a dog, you got to be what? Thorough. You got to bathe that old mangy mutt, right? You got to get some of them dead ones off of him. You got to powder him up. And then three or four weeks. A week goes by, you got to what? You got to do it all over again. You got to be thorough, right? Or he's going to still have the what? They're going to have the fleas. You got to be thorough in present service. Look at verses 7 and 8. "For I do not wish to see you now just in passing." I don't want to just pass through there. "For I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits." I want to come and do a thorough job with you. "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost." If Paul were to accomplish anything worthwhile during his next stay in Corinth, he knew he would have to visit them more than just in passing. Paul, therefore, hoped to remain with them for some time if the Lord permits. He's flexible, right? Paul had a strong commitment to thoroughness. Superficiality and temporariness had no part in his ministry. He wanted everything he did to be sound and permanent, worthwhile and lasting. I tell you what. I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it to you. I got a friend of mine who's been in the ministry for 40-something years. He just did a revival in my former church in Belle Plaine, Kansas. And we were talking Friday about how it went. And I told him to share with the congregation. I still don't have much contact with them now. It's been 10 years since we pastored there. We were with them for 5. Tough church. Needed a lot of help. And I told him, I said, y'all tell them that old Trevor's is taller than his daddy. And they'd get a big kick out of that, because when God moved us away from there, Trevor was just a spit. Trevor had curly hair. I mean, he looked like a brand new boy right out of the box. Amen. He wasn't 6'3 with a size 13 shoe. I mean, he was a little bitty guy. They'd pick old Trevor up and love on him and all that. And that's just one time, Miss Carr. That's not two. Amen. All right. So this brother, he spent revival with them, and he was sharing with me how it went. And we were talking about it, and it's just, man, the church ain't what it used to be. And friend, I'm telling you, when you put 5 years into a place, and there's two guys that have been there since I've left. But friend, I want to tell you, it hurts. You want that thing to go forward. You don't want it to go backwards. You know, he told me how many people they had in attendance, and I'm thinking to myself, Man, we used to run twice that. He told me what they gave him as a love offering. He wasn't complaining. He was just like, you know, this is, and I asked, and he shared, and I was like, man, we would give three times that. That brother drove 1,040 miles. Nobody offered him a mileage check. He paid all of his meals. Nobody took him to one meal. I said, brother, that is, yeah. And see, old Pastor Steve, what you know, this is what I told him. I said, you can hang some of that on me. He goes, well, brother, you've been going there for 10 years. I said, yeah. I go, if I knew what I knew now, I could have helped that church then. And I go, we'll be praying for them people. I go, that's not that church. That is a better church. We led that association in that church. That church took in the biggest mission offering. That church, we had the most additions. We baptized. I'm telling you, God moved in that church. I've seen it with my own eyes. So we want what? We want lasting. We want sound. We want permanent. We want worthwhile. Amen? Boy, that means showing up to church. I mean, that means praying. That means rattling the bars of heaven for the church. God, may this thing be perpetual. May it outlast us. May this be a gift to somebody else one day. May this thing grow till it can't fit on the property anymore and it has to move somewhere else. For the cause of Christ and for His glory. Not for our glory. Amen? Paul had spent a year and a half establishing and pastoring the church at Corinth. He knew that the letter he now was writing to the Corinthians would only begin to help solve the serious problems the Corinthians were having. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? And it takes a while for some people, I'm telling you. It takes a while. If possible, Paul wanted at least to spend the winter, as verse 6 tells us. He wanted to do that with them before he went on to Jerusalem. Why? Because of a desire to be thorough. God's people matter, amen? The truth of God matters. We don't come in and halfway it. We go all the way for God. And I will say this to you. You do that. And I'm thankful for a church. I'm telling you, we had that, what did we call it Saturday morning? Life chain. We had that life chain. I'm telling you, I did that two times in my church at Pearland. And I think the first time we had four. Second time we had about eight. We do it here. We got 19 or 20 people show up first crack. I want to tell you, thorough, amen. Way to go. Praise God. We do a men's barbecue. We don't do that halfway, amen. That's thorough. Thorough. Amen. I mean, you know, you eat on it once, freeze half of it, eat on it again. I mean, that's a thorough thing, right? That's the way Sunday school ought to be, and it is, right? That's the way church worship ought to be, and it is, amen? Don't ever lose that mindset. We give our what? We give our best. Because God gave His best for us. Thorough, amen? Right? Paul wanted, listen, this is what Paul wanted to do. Paul wanted to teach every Christian, everything he could at every opportunity he had. You think about your life. You think about the opportunities you get at church. You think about the opportunities you get out there in the world. Seize every one of them. Be thorough about it. Amen? Have a vision. Be flexible, of course, but go for God. Amen? Go for it. Paul wanted to teach every Christian everything he could at every opportunity he had. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29 reads this. It says, we proclaim Him admonishing, he says in the Scriptures, every man. And teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. To the Ephesian elders who met Paul at Miletus, He was able to say in Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 28, "For I did not shrink, I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Friend, he wanted to teach every Christian everything he could at every opportunity he had. Now mark this down and remember it. Sometimes thoroughness does not depend on just the length of time, but thoroughness depends on using the time you have to the fullest advantage. Amen? Because let me tell you something. The earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself lasted how long? 3 years, my friends. 3 years. But at the end of that brief time, Jesus could say in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 4, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." What does Jesus say on the cross at his death? It is, that's right, not halfway. He was thorough. Amen? Paul spent about 3 years at Ephesus. He spent less than a total of 2 years in Corinth. And he only spent weeks in Thessalonica. But the time he spent in each place was characterized by thoroughness, by using to the fullest advantage the time he had. I think a lot of brothers in the ministry, they're always thinking, how can I make this last longer? When they ought to be thinking, how far can I push these people? How hard can I lead these people? What can I get away with to get them to do what God wants them to do? Amen? And if I get fired in the process, praise God, I'm moving on to the next stump. Amen? Right? Instead of tiptoeing around, "Oh, I don't want to offend anybody here. And let's all go along to get along and glad hand one another when it's over." No! We want God to be glorified. Amen? God to be glorified. So let me ask you the question as we close this out, and I've used my time tonight. What is the opposite of thoroughness as broken down for us in the Scriptures? What do you think? Sloth? Okay. Laziness? Sloppiness. Begrudgingly. Let's think about 2 Thessalonians. Those are good, by the way. But let's think about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. The Word of God reads this, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica again. He says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like," you fill in that word, you remember it? "Busy bodies." Busy bodies. These folks were probably, among other things, spreading fantastic speculations about Christ's return. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 kind of outlines what these folks were doing. They had quit their day jobs. They were running around talking about how Jesus is coming back. And Jesus is coming back, amen? 2,000 plus years later, I'm telling you, He's a coming back, right? He's coming back. Then, things hadn't transpired yet for Him to come back. But these guys had quit their day job. They were running around talking about how Christ is going to return. Not only were they misleading and confusing other church members, "Hey, man, Christ is coming. You need to prep, and you need to do this, and you need to do all that." But they were financially sponging off the church. You know, we're providing a service, and you need to support us. They were busybodies. They had given up productive work of every sort, and certainly we're not doing the work of the Lord despite the theological error of their activities. I heard of a church where a new pastor came, and this retired preacher is in the congregation. I can't remember if it's in Texas or in Oklahoma, but this new pastor, he preached, are you ready? He preached 10 minutes. 10 momentos. The retired pastor's telling this other brother, he said, I don't know what to do. Now, hey, my first sermon, about 10 minutes, maybe 12. It was my first sermon, man. I mean, the pastor emeritus of the church, he got up. I'm telling you, he prayed longer than I preached. And we had a service, right? But this brother is, it's a good church. And they called a man that preached 10 minutes. Why, Pastor? Why do you? He's a busybody. He makes a lot of noise. He stirs some papers on his desk. But he ain't in God's Word. You know why I know that? Because he only speak 10 minutes about it. He only speak 10 minutes. A busybody, right? This other senior adult pastor told this retired pastor that's in the church, he said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, me and my wife can't stay there. I mean, if God's Word isn't preached, we can't be members there. The pastor told him that I know. He said, well, you need to be a prophet and go help that young pastor. He goes, what do I need to tell him? He didn't tell him you need to preach more than 10 minutes. Get the Word of God. that me and my wife are moving down the road, and if you get your act together, we may come back. Amen. We're not going to get up early and get all cleaned up, put our clothes on, and sit down for a busybody speech. We want the Word of God preached. Amen? It's busybodies. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Even with the work that we know is the Lord's, even with the work that we know that is the Lord's, we should never take on a ministry that we are not willing to thoroughly prepare for and work at. We should not attempt to give a message, teach a Bible study, a Sunday school lesson that is not carefully based in the Word of God and bathed with prayer. I don't care if it's Monday night. Bible study, that is not Bible study light. We ought to be at our best, amen? Sunday school over here, youth over here, we ought to be thorough at our best. Scripturally based, bathed in prayer, right? We should not seek to disciple a person to whom we're not willing to give the necessary time. You know why I don't teach Sunday school in this church? I don't have time. You know why I don't lead a Monday night Bible study? Man, there's enough ministry to go around. There's men in this church that have time to prepare a Bible study every other week. Amen? And then they split the calendar up. They may prepare one every 6 weeks, right? There's enough ministry to go around. Amen? But if you're going to sign up for something, you be what? Thorough. You have a vision for it. You be flexible in it. But friend, you be thorough about it, right? God, let me tell you something. Good purposes, good intentions, and plans are worthless if they are not faithfully executed. Friend, there's going to be a lot of good, honest, decent people in hell one day. And they're going to be cursing us, and they're going to be cursing the church, and they're going to be cursing Jesus Christ for all eternity because somebody here wasn't thorough with them. Does that make sense to you? Don't let that blood be on your hands. Amen? So Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in the nations that forget God. We do not want to be a part of that nation. Amen? We want to be a nation that does what? That remembers God, that turns back to God, that prays that there's a great revival to God. Amen? We want to be the church, Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Amen? We want to be the standard bearer, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can cover two more of these principles that are contained in this last section of Corinthians. Lord, thank You that we can have a personal vision. Lord, I pray that we would be flexible in how we feel like the Holy Spirit is leading us. But Lord, whatever we attempt, whatever we seek to do with Your leading and Your direction, may we do it with all we've got in us, Lord. May we not halfway anything. Lord, there are going to be times when a kid is sick or a spouse is sick or we're sick or, Lord, something's going on and we just can't quite be to that level that we need to be. But Lord, other times when we've got the time to prepare, other times when we've got the energy, other times when our schedules are okay, may we not slough. May we not be busybodies about it. But Lord, may we be thorough about it. for your cause and for your kingdom and for your glory. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. All right, let's look at our prayer list tonight. What you got back there, brother?